Welcome to Flip the Script Wellness. I'm Heather Boggs, and today I want to talk about how you're doing. I mean, how are you really doing? So often when asked, hey, how you doing? The answer is fine, good. But are you? Are you really fine? Are you really good? And the truthful answer to that may be, you know what, I'm not sure. Because maybe you haven't been able to put your finger on what exactly doesn't feel right. What in your life isn't exactly where you want it to be? And I think for many people, identifying the part of their life that needs some working on is one of the biggest challenges. And today I want to talk about ways you can hone in on those things that are off and come up with a plan to make them better. We are in a time right now where I know for me, I have not experienced anything like it. You know, there are so many things going on, you know, nationally, globally, that are unprecedented. And I think it's put a lot of us in a position of needing to kind of accept that there are things beyond our control right now. And I've heard a lot of people use the phrase, it is what it is. And there is some truth to that. There are always going to be things that are out of your control. And there will always be things that come up that are unexpected, that are bigger than us. And it's important to recognize we can't control everything. That being said, there are things within our own individual lives that we can control, and we can take the reins and make a shift and move in a direction that is new and is different and maybe is just what we're needing to feel, I don't know, invigorated during these difficult times. Back in March, when the whole country, I mean, even essentially the whole world, slammed on the brakes and we were in lockdown, quarantine, massive shift to home dynamics, people working from home, kids going to school from home, and with it, the stresses of the financial struggles that came with unemployment and with uncertainty about how long is this pandemic going to last, there is a dramatic shift in people's consciousness. I think for many people, it kind of gave an opportunity for people to hit pause, to reflect, assess, take stock of kind of how they had been living their life and what was now dramatically different and what they wished they could go back to and what they wished that they didn't want to go back to. And I think, you know, in a way, that one of the hidden blessings of this kind of catastrophic time is that we all have a chance to decide what we want to bring with us in this new era and in this new time during COVID and hopefully soon post-COVID. So where do you start? How do you figure out how you are actually doing? And then how do you come up with a plan to improve it? As a wellness coach, that would be something that I would work with a client with. We would do lots of questionnaires and some soul searching, and then identify the areas of your life that just aren't working for you or aren't a reflection of the person that you want to be. You know, with flipping the script, it's this has been my narrative so far. Now I want to flip the script and rewrite it in a way that feels true to the person that I want to be. So, you know, how do you even start that? You know, I am a fan of the 10 dimensions of wellness. The National Wellness Institute has an assessment tool that helps you to break your life down into 10 essential categories. And it kind of gives you a starting place to look at each dimension objectively and evaluate how things are going for you in each of those areas. So as I go through each of the 10 dimensions of wellness, I want you to do a little bit of a self-evaluation. You know, if you're in the car, just kind of keep a mental note. If you're sitting at home and you want to grab a piece of paper and a pen and kind of jot down the 10 different categories and give yourself a score, maybe on a scale from 1 to 10, how you think you're doing. We can kind of get even a beginning insight into what areas of your life you'd like to work on. So before we get started, I just need to say that these kinds of evaluations are not for diagnosis purposes. They are not designed to diagnose or treat any health, medical, mental health conditions. They're just an educational and informational tool to help you understand yourself better. Okay, so we'll start with the first category, which is physical wellness. Taking a minute to think about your day from beginning to end. How do you feel when you wake up in the morning? Are you ready to start your day? How does your physical body feel? Do you have aches and pains? Are you still really fatigued even though you've had a sufficient amount of sleep? Does your day start with food or does your day start with caffeine? Do you get annual screenings for things like blood pressure? For women, are you getting mammograms and pap smears? If you are of certain ages, certain additional screenings are important. And if you are being treated for any underlying health conditions, are you happy with the treatment plan that you have and the level of care that you're receiving? Are you someone who utilizes a blend of natural health and traditional medicine? Are you all natural health? Are you all traditional medicine? And how do you feel about it? Those are important questions to ask in regards to your physical health. And also in regards to your physical health, what are you eating? Do you have enough food to eat? Is the food that you're eating both satisfying as well as nutritious? Do you have joyful movement in your life? Do you have physical activity that you do regularly that makes your body feel good? That doesn't feel like a punishment, isn't risking injury or abuse to your body, but is something that makes your body feel good, makes it feel better, and brings you a level of joy. So those are not all of the aspects of our physical health, but a good amount that you could take stock of and evaluate and see how you're doing. For many people, when they think of wellness, they would actually have stopped the conversation there. There's so much emphasis on our physical wellness when it comes to well-being and health. But it is actually, with this evaluation tool, it's only a tenth of it, because we are whole. We are whole people, and our mind, body, and spirit all need to be cared for, nurtured, and supported. So the second category is emotional wellness. What do we mean by emotional wellness? Well, our emotional wellness can include things like our mental health, our feelings, our relationships, and our relationship with ourselves. There are a lot of components that go into our emotional health. Everything from how our emotions were received and reacted to as children. I think that is a big shaping factor in our emotional health as adults. So I'll start with the example of a crying baby or a crying toddler. How the adults, parents, respond to that crying child can begin to shape how they express their emotions. For example, if the crying toddler is told to stop crying, essentially they're being told to suppress their feelings, to hold them in, that how they're reacting isn't okay and it isn't welcome in that environment. So for some children, the response would be to stop sharing their emotions and to disconnect from their feelings because they are under the impression that how they were feeling was somehow wrong or bad. Another child under those same circumstances could decide that they were now frustrated that their feelings were not being heard or honored or acknowledged, and they would up the ante, and they would make the emotional moment more of an outburst or a tantrum in an effort to get their feelings heard and their needs met. So when I think of adults that I've known or that I've worked with in community outreach and church work, friends, other family members, and I think of those who are really good at expressing their feelings, emotions, voicing their needs, and expressing themselves, I see a direct link with how well they were treated in terms of their emotions as children, if their needs were met, if they felt that they were heard by the people that provided their care to them. And so I think when we're working, helping people to understand their emotional health, sometimes it means that they need to kind of unpack some ingrained ideas they have about themselves and their feelings. And it may mean that they have to almost reparent themselves in a way to learn to validate their feelings and learn a way or learn that it's safe to be expressive about your needs and your feeling. So as a coach, if that kind of a discovery was made while working with a client, that they have some emotional wellness work that they need to do, it's likely that some of that may go beyond the scope of coaching. And it may mean making the recommendation that they talk to a therapist, because perhaps they do have some serious unpacking to do. And, you know, I think it's important to remember that wellness is not one size fits all. Wellness can include a whole toolbox of things and a whole team of people that you use as resources to help you live your best life. Our emotional wellness directly impacts how we function in our relationships, whether it's in our romantic relationships, our professional relationships, our relationships as parents, our relationships as children. We need to ask ourselves, are we emotionally available for the people we're in relationship with? And we need to ask ourselves if we're emotionally expressive to the people we're in relationship with, and are we emotionally healthy? So that's a little bit of what goes into emotional wellness. The next area of wellness is self-care, and whoo, that is a broad topic as well. Everybody's idea of self-care is different, and it varies widely. So for me, I actually think we don't need to define specifics of self-care, like the actual activities or practices that define your self-care. I think it essentially comes down to what recharges your batteries. If we look at all of the things that draw on us throughout our week, we, you know, think of the old gas tank in the car. We start, we're on full tank. Little by little, as things go through our week, we end up using up that fuel. Without adequate self-care, we're never going back to the gas station to refill the tank. And so I think it's important to identify, you know, a solid number of things that over the course of a week put gas in the tank for you and help refuel you to a place where you're not going to be running at a deficit or wearing yourself too thin. And, you know, for most people, the problem isn't coming up with things that would be wonderful ways to refill your tank. It's coming up with the time. And so I think that's an interesting place where a coach can help you take a step back from your life and kind of streamline things and make yourself a main character in your own life so that you're able to prioritize you and prioritize your needs. And self-care is an important part of that. Before I get into the next dimension of wellness, I wanna talk about something that, I don't know, really drives me nuts. when we think of the like traditional healthcare of you know modern medicine, there's a definite approach to diagnosis and treatment. And when we think of the natural health and wellness community, they have their own approach. Both have this all or nothing kind of characteristic to it that leaves me, you know, shaking my fists and ready to let out a scream, because it doesn't need to be that way. We need to stop being an either or society and be a both and. We need to be more integrative in how we approach every aspect of our life. The next category is nutrition. And nutrition can be very polarizing. You know, there's a lot of our nutritional understanding has been influenced by diet culture. A lot of our nutritional access is influenced by socioeconomics. And there really isn't a one-size-fits-all approach to this. It's really very individualized. The next dimension of wellness is occupational, and when you think of it, our jobs take up a really big part of our life. For the average American, it's, you know, if you're looking at a 40-hour work week, you take sleep and work, and that's a big chunk. That's a big chunk of your life, and so satisfaction in your job and with your occupation is paramount, I think. And, you know, for many people, finding that work-home or work-personal life balance is a big struggle. And that's for folks who are working one job and are fortunate enough to, you know, get it all done in a 40-hour work week. There are people who just the nature of their job demands more hours and they're working, you know, 60-plus hours. And there are folks that, in order to meet the needs of themselves and their families, they're working, you know, one or more jobs. And with that, you know, this can be like the predominant factor in your life and have an enormous impact on your overall wellness. So some of the questions you might ask yourself about your job are, do I enjoy it? Is it fulfilling? Does it provide enough for me financially? Does it positively or negatively impact my physical or mental emotional wellness? Is it what I had wanted to do for my job? So these are all questions you can ask yourself, you know, as you're looking to give yourself, you know, a rating on the 1 to 10 scale of how your occupational wellness is. And, you know, it may not be an easy fix. Career changes and job changes are some of the more difficult adjustments we have to make in life sometimes. The next dimension of wellness is sexuality. And I think as a whole, sexuality has components of the physical, the emotional, and the self-care dimensions as well. I think when we're looking at our sexuality, it's a combination of sexual identity, sexual expression, intimacy, and self-care. I think healthy sexuality is a critical part of our well-being. And, you know, as a mom of young adults, I'm thankful that they're growing up in a society and culture that is finally beginning to accept and embrace a spectrum of sexual identity and expression. And I think we're moving as a collective in a really great direction in terms of sexual health and wellness. And intimacy and pleasure with a partner or solo is an amazing stress reliever. It can help us feel more connected to ourselves. And, you know, I think it's an amazing form of self-care. The next category that's up is environment, where you're spending your time. So that can cover your work environment. It can cover your home environment. It can cover your leisure environment, where you choose to spend your time. In terms of your home environment, is it comfortable? Is it meeting the needs of you and your family in terms of space? Is it neat and tidy, or is it a disaster? And whether it is or isn't, how does that make you feel, and how does that positively or negatively impact your everyday life? In terms of your work environment, is your desk neat and tidy, or is it a disaster? Is the environment you work in a pleasant one, or is it competitive or toxic? There's lots of components to our environment, but I think it can really impact the overall vibes of our life. And I think there's, you know, been a lot of research done on how environment affects mood. You know, and then there's like the environment, like the planet that we live on. Do you consider your impact on the environment and the environment's impact on you? And how can you be a problem solver in that respect? Next up is safety. And that's another one of those kind of hybrid categories where it can encompass safety in relationships, which kind of ties into your physical and emotional wellness. It can tie into safety in terms of environment as well. Are you safe at home? You know, do you have hot water? Do you have electricity? Do you have the things you need to be and feel safe? It can also, you know, expand beyond like your literal home environment to your community. Are you safe in your community? You know, given everything going on right now in terms of the need for social justice reform and, you know, the protests regarding systemic racism and just tragic death of Black Americans, safety, I think, is a topic that's at the forefront for a lot of folks and isn't something that should be quickly glossed over. You know, and in terms of safety and relationships, you know, there's, you know, physical domestic violence that is unfortunately a part of many people's lives. But there's also the mental abuse and verbal abuse that can be part of relationships as well. And I think all of that safety needs to be looked at and evaluated. And if you're someone who, upon listening to this right now, is in an unsafe situation, either within your relationships, your home, or your community, please, please seek out assistance, seek out safety, and know that there are resources available, and that as terrifying as your circumstances may feel, and as overwhelming and powerless as you may feel, you are not alone, and you are worthy and deserving of living a life that is safe. We have just two more dimensions of wellness to go. The next one is spirituality. And there have been a lot of studies that show a healthy spiritual life and practice can impact your life in a positive way in all aspects. Greater stress reduction, more joy, a sense of gratitude, a connection to a higher power, a sense that things are bigger than yourselves, a belief in a benevolent force in the universe, aka God, source, spirit, whatever you want to call it, is out there working towards you and love and beauty and harmony in the world. So finding a spiritual practice that fits you and resonates with you is important. I am thankful to have spirituality as a cornerstone in my life. You know, I've have a background in Christianity. I was a Christian education director. I have a certification as a yoga teacher. I draw a lot of spiritual inspiration from that, but I am also a believer in many paths to one God, and that God is infinite and unconditionally loving and kind of the life force that lives and dwells within all of creation and all of humanity. So for me, my spiritual life has a direct impact on many of the other categories within the dimensions of wellness. And here we are at number 10, which is intellectual. So I am a lifelong learner. For me, learning about new things or deepening my understanding in areas that I'm interested in has always been a passion of mine. I love being a student. I love to learn. And sometimes it gets to the point where my brain literally craves that intellectual workout, that, flexing those brain muscles, so to speak, and expanding my understanding and my knowledge. So, you know, depending on where you are in your life and where your interests lie, are you being challenged intellectually, stimulated intellectually? Are you in relationships with people who help feed that intellectual hunger for you? I think that's an important part of our everyday well-being, but I think it's also an important part of helping us to age in a way that isn't stunted, that we don't stay stuck. So that's it. That's the 10 dimensions of wellness. And, you know, I'm curious, how'd you do? Go back and kind of tally up your score. Look at what areas you're really nailing it and you're doing an amazing job, and what areas are you coming up short? And there's some, you know, flags waving saying, hey, look at me, help me out. I'm not as well as I'd like to be. I hope this last 30 minutes or so gave you some insight into yourself. Remember, this was not meant to give any sort of medical or mental health advice. It was merely a way to inform you and educate you a little bit more about yourself so that you can make just some decisions about what direction you would like your wellness to go in. My goal with the direction of this podcast is to bring you information and guests that touch on these 10 dimensions of wellness as a way to give you tools for your toolbox and resources for bettering the way that you feel and the way that you live in your life. Thank you for spending time with me today. Giving someone your time is a generous act, and I thank you for that. I'd like to acknowledge the music group Slancha for the introduction and ending music. Remember, you are a main character in your life, and if you don't like the way that the narrative is going, you can always flip the script. Remember, you can find me on Instagram at FlipTheScriptWellness or on my website at FlipTheScriptWellness.com.